Cam Ward has struggled so far at Titans OTAs, but does it matter? What do we make of Ward's up and down performances thus far? Well, we've got examples of other second-year quarterbacks who had breakout seasons and how they performed at OTAs. We're going to talk through it all, why it matters, why it doesn't. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it! Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor at TitanSize.com, the publisher for NFL Draft on SI, and my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, I say Cam Ward has been struggling so far at OTAs. We're going to put some context to that. We're going to talk about why it doesn't really matter that much or why it might matter. Today, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, doing well. This felt like an appropriate topic for today because it's been everywhere, right? Like, I mean, Jared Stillman, in very Jared Stillman fashion, went on a show and called Cam Ward a bust. I wrote an article calling him a troll and had some fun with that. I even put troll in the headline. I'm a very serious person. Journalism with a big J for journo. And we've had also a lot of people, Paul Kuharsky, Jim Wyatt, have given their take on Cam Ward and his performances at OTAs right now. Felt very timely to get into this discussion. And as only the Music City Audible can do, we dove deep into some of the research, gave you guys some examples that we're going to talk through today, I think that are worth revisiting. Whether it eases your mind, adds more concern to your mind, you'll be the judge of that. But certainly a timely discussion on the Music City Audible today.
Yeah, I think when we say Cam Ward has been struggling, the media has only seen four of the Titans' eight OTA practices. They have two more before mandatory minicamp next week. Cam Ward working back from a shoulder injury, learning a new offense with new teammates and new coaches all around him. I think that struggling is putting it a little harshly because these days have been described as up and down, uneven performances. They haven't even been described as bad days. In fact, if we talk about the most recent practice, which was Tuesday, here's what Paul Kuharsky wrote. And this, Paul was writing about the entire, you know, all the sessions that the media has attended so far. The preface, colon, these remain developmental days for Cam Ward. It's fair that he's working through things. This is when that should happen, in the spring of year two, for a rookie who had a poor first season, even as he improved late. He got two key new receivers, and Cardonnell Tate was not on the field Tuesday. He's learning Brian Daboll's offense. But yes, he should be better than he's been in two practices this week. Jim Wyatt wrote, in the four open OTAs, I have Ward at 49 of 88 in 7-on-7 and team periods combined. Can Ward be better? Yes. Has he been bad during OTAs? No. So I think my first point here, before we even look at any other examples of other quarterbacks and talk about why this matters or why it doesn't, is to say that I think the concerns are being overblown anyway. It's not like Cam Ward is going out there and having bad days with zero redeeming plays or qualities. He is struggling more than maybe you'd like to see. You know, that year two leap. Guys like Drake May and Caleb Williams last year made these incredible year two leaps. And, you know, if we want to see signs of that coming for Cam Ward, you'd think it would start now in OTAs, right? But I also think that the bad play, the concerning play, is being a bit overblown because of the time of year, because of the context surrounding it. So that's the first thing, is that everyone's talking about how Cam Ward is struggling at OTAs. It's like, what does struggling really mean? It means he's not hitting every pass? Like, okay, I don't know.
I'm not concerned. Let me start by saying that, but I do want to add some additional context, and totally in the interest of fairness, okay? 49 of 88 should be better, right? Like,
I agree.
Like that's, I'm not a big math guy, but that sounds about mid-50s, right? It's not, it's above 50%, but it's below 60% completion percentage. Should it be higher at OTAs? Yes, probably, right? Not even probably, yes. There are no pads, no physical contact. Like, I think some of that tends to favor the offense. And then again, call it how you see it. You get a guy like Mitch Trubisky show up, who's been in the league a long time, and immediately kind of shows you how easy OTAs are supposed to be, right? Like, he shows up on Monday. He's got the advantage of being a veteran quarterback. He's got the advantage of having run this offense before. But he shows up and he's got like 5 incompletions through 2 practices, something ridiculous like that, right? So I do think he can be better. And when you read the Paul Kuharsky piece, he points out some reps where it's like he's got an easy completion down the sideline and he hits the cornerback in the back. Cody Barton bats down a pass way short of the intended target. He's had interceptions in back-to-back days, Monday and Tuesday. Kevin Winston Jr. got him on Monday. Michael Robinson got him on Tuesday. I'll let you cut in a second, but
yeah, wait, hang on.
Go ahead.
Context for the first one, because this is the thing. It's like this is the thing that we did for Mariota, for Will Levis, for Cam Ward. Is like, is it the quarterback's fault? Is it the play caller's fault? Is it the weapon's fault? That one you noted that hit the corner in the back. Paul also writes that Elikai Manor should have done a better job of coming back to the ball and fighting over the back of the corner and trying to make the catch. Like, does a better receiver like Carnell Tate make that catch? And then you're not even talking about
or
that play.
Or draw a DPI, right? But I think the point is, regardless, the blame, maybe you could say it's 50-50 on that one rep, right? It's like,
you
shouldn't have to ask your receiver to come back to the ball and try, right? Like, if the ball's on the money, which maybe it should be in OTAs is what I'm saying, when there's no risk of a sack or getting hit or anything, like, that ball should probably be put in the bucket over the corner instead of hitting the corner in the back. That's all I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
No big deal, right? We're not overreacting, not saying Mr. Trubisky should, right? Like, the point is, should OTAs be better than 49 of 88? The ones that they've been at least. Fair to say yes, full stop, right?
Yeah, and I also think that it's worth noting, if we're adding context, that like the majority of the starting defense hasn't even been out there. The top two corners on this team, who should be the ones giving him the most trouble when there's no real pass rush, no pads, and no contact, like those are the guys that should be sticking to the receivers and making it hard for Cam Ward, not Kedren Callaghan and Micah Robinson, who picked off Cam Ward yesterday, not Cody Barton, who we're hoping gets replaced at the middle linebacker position, who knocked down a pass yesterday. Like, it's not like these are the top level defenders out there making these plays, making it hard on Cam Ward. It's not like he's going up against an elite defense. Like, I think those are some contextual notes that definitely paint a bit of a concerning picture. But it also hasn't been all bad. He's still hitting Tate for 50-yard touchdowns. He threw a beautiful touchdown pass to Elikai Manor yesterday that the Titans social media team posted that, by the way, looks identical to a touchdown pass that Drake May threw to A.J. Brown at Patriots mandatory minicamp yesterday. If you're watching on YouTube, you see them here side by side. And that, I think, is just funny that, like, despite any of these struggles that may be happening, there's still great plays happening. Mm-hmm. And it was also noted that that touchdown pass to Elikai Manor, I think maybe it was Nick Sess who noted this, or maybe it was Paul. I don't remember anymore. Sorry, but thank you to the beat writers for getting these notes. That had been the third attempt on a third down with Elikai Manor going against Kedren Callaghan in man coverage and Cam Ward trying to hit him. And the first two, Callaghan won. And this is like one of the last plays of practice. It's a gotta have it moment, the third time they're getting this look. And it's a perfect play, perfectly executed, which again speaks to some of my thoughts about Ward having this propensity to maybe start slow and then warm up and then get going. But also to the like improvement. Like, yeah, it didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. What do we learn? What can we get better? Hit it the third time. It's what you want. It's the order that you want to see it happening in. And I think that we're glossing over these good plays because as a fan base and as media members, like, you're expecting Ward to take that year two leap. So those good plays are like, okay, that's what we expect. It's not a big deal. We don't even need to write about it. Then, when he misses a throw or has an interception or whatever, then it's like, why is this happening? He's supposed to be making the leap. And now we're going to report on why he's not making the leap. I don't know. You know what I mean?
I think Kuharsky summed it up nicely by saying, and I'm slightly paraphrasing, I might have it word for word, I'm not sure. Have more balls hit the ground than you'd like to see at OTAs? Yes. Because again, all those advantages I think the offense tends to have at OTAs should lead to like almost a near perfect completion percentage, and that's been nowhere near the case. But as you noted, nice touchdown to Elikai Manor on Tuesday. He also had a touchdown to Xavier Restrepo on Tuesday. He had 2 touchdown passes. And then was it the first open OTA practice that everyone lost their mind over Carnell Tate having 3 touchdowns? All of them thrown by Cam Ward. To our knowledge, Carnell Tate's not working with Will Levis or Hendon Hooker or even Trubisky now that he's there. So he also had that 3 touchdown performance to Tate. And I think that was the first open OTA practice.
It was.
So there's been a lot of good, too. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some factual information for you regarding how some of the sophomore quarterbacks you'd love Cam Ward to emulate, how did they look at OTAs last year?
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, everyone. Justin, we have these historical examples to get to. I also wanted to throw out one other potential reason for the struggles that Ward's experiencing, and this is Easton Freeze's theory. So I'm gonna defer to him here. He posted this video yesterday after practice talking about how there's a lot of miscommunication happening between Cam Ward and his receivers. Everybody's learning this offense, right? Everyone except for Wandale Robinson and Daniel Bellinger and Austin Schlotman are learning a brand new offense. So this offense has a lot of option routes. Option routes are where the route is not defined pre-snap. It unfolds post-snap based on the receiver analyzing the coverage, figuring out where he has leverage, and breaking a certain direction to potentially should be open field, right? So you got to read things the same way. The quarterback and the wide receiver have to understand what the route is supposed to do against a specific coverage. That means they both have to read the coverage correctly, can't get fooled by any disguises, and they have to be on the same page. The quarterback still needs to be able to throw the ball with anticipation, so he needs to know where his receiver is going to break, and it sounded a lot like that hasn't, like they haven't been on the same page a lot. Nick Suss noted that in Monday's practice, when Cam Ward was 2 of 8 in the red zone drills, that 3 of them were throwaways, and 1 of them was Elik Iemanaar or Shimmer Adike. Paul Kaharsky and Braden Gall did their recap, and they also, again, noted it was Elik Iemanaar, but I think we determined that it was Shimmer Adike. Regardless, doesn't get 2 feet down inbounds. There's another incompletion. So Cam Ward goes up from 2 of 8 to 2 of 4 in a red zone drill where the windows are condensed. I mean, I'd still rather him be 4 of 4, obviously, but 2 of 4 is a lot better than 2 of 8. You know, 3 throwaways are happening because the receivers and the quarterback are not on the same page. So is that another reason potentially for Cam Ward's struggles? Possibly. Does that excuse it? No, because it doesn't matter whose fault it is. If the offense isn't executing well, that's going to come back to bite them if they don't clean it up. Luckily, they have a lot of time to clean it up, but that's another reason for the struggles.
I think there's an obvious element here of new offensive coordinator, so obviously you're learning a new system and scheme. As you noted, the receivers are doing the same. Didn't do a whole lot before this, right, due to the Week 18 shoulder injury, so there might be a bit more of a ramp-up period. Maybe he missed a couple of weeks that you would have liked to have him out there, even working on his own, essentially, right? Like, yeah. We saw with his personal quarterback coach, like when he had started doing things, they were slowly implementing and ramping up his offseason program. So certainly there's a lot that goes into it, but I think we should get into the historical examples that we were able to dig up for today's show.
So Drake May and Caleb Williams were in very similar positions to Cam Ward last year, both entering their second year, both had their own fair share of rookie struggles, maybe even a lot of rookie struggles, maybe not quite to the level of Cam Ward's rookie struggles. I think Cam Ward's environment was worse than either of theirs, although neither of them were in good environments either. Both of them had their head coaches fired, Caleb during the season, Drake May at the end of the season. They both had new coaches coming in, new offensive coordinators coming in. In Caleb's case, the head coach basically is the offensive coordinator, not technically, but calling the plays. In Drake May's case, got a defensive-minded head coach, just like the Titans. In his second stint as a head coach, just like the Titans, with an offensive coordinator who had been a failed head coach the year before, or the 2 years before. Josh McDaniels got fired in from Las Vegas before they hired Pete Carroll, and coming back to be an offensive coordinator again. And that's basically the same situation that Cam Ward's in with Brian Daboll. And so Josh McDaniels and Drake May going out to learn a new offense, entering year two, exciting situation. You showed some excitement, even if you struggled as a rookie, but now this is going to be the second year breakout. Well, not so fast if you just read OTA reports from May of 2025, as Drake May struggles with 4 interception day plus other Patriots OTA observations. And this is an article written a year ago, same time of year, same amount of work done in this offense, where Drake May threw 4 interceptions in 1 practice. Noted that he's been battling turnovers. Of course, he also had a pair. I'm going to read from the article. May completed his first pair of passes, tossed a well-placed ball to Kayshon Booty deep down the middle of the field. Then the second-year quarterback started laboring. May endured a turnover-filled afternoon that featured a pair of back-to-back interceptions during 2 different sessions. Cam Ward hasn't had a 4 interception day yet, but clearly Drake May struggled a bit during OTAs. Here's another article, a different article from a different day, talking about a different problem. In the Patriots' first open OTA to the media last week, May looked out of sorts as he threw 4 interceptions. He was better in Wednesday's practice, but it was still an uneven day for New England's offense. That is a similar word, uneven, that's been used to describe Cam Ward so far at OTAs. I got one more on Drake May. Drake May suffered new issue at Patriots OTAs. Turnovers weren't a problem this time, but the issue on this day was May's inaccuracy, according to Chad Graff of The Athletic. He detailed how May, quote, only completed around half of his passes, with several spiraling well above his intended target.
Wow, these are three different practices. Those are 3 different OTA practices that the Patriots were open to the media. And all 3 days, bad, uneven, bad, whatever you want to call it.
And all 3 by 3 different writers, by 3 different observers at OTA practices. And look, we know how Drake May's season went, right? He was a runner-up in MVP voting, had a true breakout year. His team goes all the way to the Super Bowl. Like, yes, Drake May struggled at OTAs, learning a new offense, entering year 2 after being in a terrible environment and struggling as a rookie. You could take the names, you could black out the names of these articles outside of the 4 interception day one, and just post it on Titans Twitter, and Titans fans will think, oh, this was written this year about Cam Ward. No, this was written last year about the MVP runner-up. And again, had a worse, at least one day, way worse than anything Cam Ward's done, who hasn't even had more than 1 interception in a single practice, and I believe has only thrown 2 in the 4 practices that the media have been at in attendance for. Monday and Tuesday were the first 2 days of interceptions for him.
I think so.
So, look, are we overreacting to some struggles at OTAs? I would say yes. I'll get to my caveats in a second, Justin. You want to react to this? And then I have another example that I will get to.
No, I think it's a good example. I mean, like you said, runner-up MVP all the way to the Super Bowl. Seemed to be quite a bit of panic. And we know what that media market is like in Foxborough, right? Seems like there was probably some panic. And remember, like, his sample size as a rookie was decent, but not great. I bet you their version of Jared Stillman was calling him a bust in May last year after watching those 3 or 4 OTA practices. Surely it was different for Caleb Williams, right?
Surely, surely. Let's take a look at a Caleb Williams article from June 4th, 2025. Chicago Bears quarterback Caleb Williams has, quote, concerning issue at minicamp. I'll just read from the article by Jordan Siegler. By multiple accounts, Wednesday's practice was one of the smoother workouts a Chicago Bears offense has had during OTAs in recent history. Quarterback Caleb Williams was credited for leading the offense 90-plus yards down the field in 58 seconds to score a touchdown in a 2-minute drill. Sounds pretty good. But head coach Ben Johnson added an asterisk, noting that there might have been some sacks Williams took on the drive. Subheading, next section of the article, Caleb Williams isn't consistently accurate. Beat reporters noted a few other asterisks, including a couple of interceptions that safety Jonathan Owens should have made on the second-year quarterback during the two-minute drill. So, headline, Caleb Williams leads 90-yard, two-minute drive in 58 seconds. Subhead is, well, he actually would have been sacked multiple times on that drive if it had been in a real game. And also, he tried to throw two interceptions, but the defender just dropped them. So, yeah, okay, he leads a touchdown drive with some major asterisks. Now, I'll also mention now, Justin, this was from June OTAs last year for the Bears. Caleb Williams' struggles didn't end in June OTAs for the Bears. I have three different training camp articles here talking about how Caleb Williams really struggled in Ben Johnson's offense in training camp last year before having what ended up being a breakout season. This one, headline, lost confidence. Caleb Williams' training camp struggles causing concern for Bears fans after Ben Johnson's telling admission. Okay, a little bit of a clickbaity headline there, but I'll just read from this article. At family night, in a video clip that has gained significant traction on social media, Williams looked all out of sorts as he aimed to find a target. On that particular day, he recorded just 5 successful completions from 17 passes thrown and had 3 interceptions. That is a struggle. When you use the word struggling at a practice, that's what it should be reserved for. Not an up and down, uneven day. Uneven, Cam Ward. Struggles? What we just read about Caleb Williams. Here's another one. I mean, this was Matt. I don't know if you guys remember this time last year. I remember that video going viral on social media, though, of him trying to hit the net and not hitting any of his passes into the net. I remember this was also the OTA period of it was surrounded by Seth Wickersham's book about how Caleb Williams' dad, like, didn't want him to go to the Bears or something at first. Maybe you guys remember some of that stuff. The next article we'll read by Matt Vetterame, your semi-colleague at Sports Illustrated. Bears could be running out of time trying to fix quarterback Caleb Williams. The former number one overall pick continues to struggle under Ben Johnson. I mean, this stuff is damning if it ended up actually affecting his season.
This is ESPN.
Last one I have here, ESPN, Courtney Cronin, August 7th, 2025. Is it time to worry about Caleb Williams and the Bears? Caleb Williams yelled as he stomped away during an individual period at a training camp last week. Williams and the other Chicago Bears quarterbacks were engaged in a rapid-fire throwing competition aiming at targets in a net. Williams' accuracy was off, and his emotional reaction, which was caught on video by fans during an open practice, sparked a social media firestorm. All right, I think that's enough examples. Yeah. You guys know how Caleb Williams' season went. He ended up making the playoffs, winning playoff games. He's on the cover of Madden this year. It was a true breakout year. Maybe not quite on the same level as Drake May, but a true breakout season. Really? Those are the historical examples, Justin. We need to react to them. But first, we need to take our last break. Welcome back. So, does this make you feel better, worse, or indifferent about Cam Ward's quote-unquote struggles during OTA so far, Justin?
In the middle of indifferent and good, right? I think, like, no, the funny thing is, like, this is the world we live in, the media landscape, football fandom. It's always moving forward, right? Like, I would wager very few of our viewers, and that's no insult at the Audible Army, remember that Drake May and Caleb Williams struggled at OTAs in camp. I didn't know until we dug up the history, right? Like, I don't remember that this was the case at all. We're always moving forward and forgetting, right? Look at the type of years they had last season during those first. And like you said, Caleb Williams lasted all the way to training camp. We're writing these articles in August. Courtney Cronin, who's one of the best, he's amazing at covering the Bears. Is it time to worry? And I'm not saying she did a good job. That's what you write about in August when your quarterback was practicing as bad as Caleb Williams was. I get it. But it just goes to show you it didn't matter. Now, hopefully it doesn't matter for Cam Ward. But neither – I know what you're going to get to.
Yeah.
You and I are not going to sit here and say that it's definitely not going to matter. We're not going to sit here and say he's definitely going to be the runner-up at MVP this year like Drake May was, or he's going to go beat the Green Bay Packers in a playoff game. I hope he does. That'd be the Super Bowl. He's going to go beat the Green Bay Packers in a playoff game like Caleb Williams did last year, right? We're not saying that's definitely going to happen. It's just proof that it can happen, that you shouldn't be making any conclusions from what's happening at OTAs right now. And that's true for both ways. You shouldn't be saying he's going to be great like Drake May and Caleb Williams are, or you also shouldn't be saying he's going to be terrible because he's struggling at OTAs, just like Caleb Williams and Drake May did.
I think it's very important that we include that caveat that this right now, what we're doing with this episode is not cope or intended to like just shine a light and say Cam Ward's going to be great because those guys were. I think you said it perfectly, but like anything can happen. The point of this is to say it doesn't matter. And I think I've said this 3 days in a row now, Justin. What is happening on the field right now does not matter. It matters for the players. It matters for their ability to grasp the system, make mistakes, learn, get to know each other, develop chemistry, understand the playbook, understand how these option routes are supposed to be run against certain coverages. It all matters for their development and for their improvement as an offense, as a unit. But the results of these practices, when I say they don't matter, I guess I should say they are not an indicator of anything. They are not an indicator that it's going to be a long, terrible year. They are not an indicator that it's going to be a fantastic year. If Cam Ward was having amazing OTA practices right now, yes, you and I would sit here and react to that and talk about how great it is. But it also wouldn't matter, is my point. And I think you can look at some quarterbacks like Anthony Richardson, who struggled in OTAs entering his second year, and he got benched midway through the season because he was bad, right? Like, that could happen to Cam Ward also. I also would like to point out that Caleb Williams had a pretty volatile, high variance, up and down season himself, where he did finish sub 60% completion rate, which is 50, not very good.
58.1. I've got it.
58.1. Worse than Cam Ward.
4 points from his terrible rookie year when it was 62.5.
And it was worse than Cam Ward's, which we've talked about not being good enough. So, yeah, if Caleb Williams doesn't make a handful of cross-body, jumping, 30-plus-yard, arcing back-of-the-end-zone touchdown throws that were pretty miraculous when they happened. I mean, how many miracle fourth-quarter wins did the Bears have last year? If those high-variance plays don't happen exactly as they happened, we might be looking back on Caleb Williams' second year a lot differently. And it's certainly possible that he comes crashing back down to earth in his third season if some of those high-variance plays go the other way. It's also possible that he continues to get better in Ben Johnson's offense and has an amazing third year. It's also possible that he's cursed because he's on the cover of Madden, and we don't talk about this very much anymore, but the Madden curse was a thing for many, many years. My point is, like, both Drake May and Caleb Williams reportedly struggled with accuracy during OTAs. Drake May was one of the most accurate quarterbacks in football last year. So for him, struggling with accuracy didn't mean anything. For Caleb Williams, he struggled with accuracy. Completes less than 60% of his passes, does have some errant throws, you know, a handful a game. He did struggle with accuracy during the season. So again, we can't make a determination either way. It doesn't matter. What Cam Ward is doing right now matters for his development, doesn't indicate how his season will go in any way, shape, or form.
What's really ironic about this is I could see Cam Ward, and maybe this would be a good thing, having a pretty similar season to what Caleb Williams did, because I think the word that you use or that I like best is Caleb Williams was a variance quarterback, right? And no one cares about the 58% completion percentage. No one cares about the layups that he occasionally missed, or that he missed more often than he should have, because guess what? He threw for 3,900 yards. He threw for 27 touchdowns. He led the Bears to the playoffs. I could see Cam Ward throwing for 3,600 yards and 25 touchdowns while also having a completion percentage that maybe isn't as high as you'd like it to be, because maybe he continues to be a variance quarterback. What's happening at OTAs right now, I think I'd use the word variance. He has a day where he throws 3 touchdowns to Carnell Tate. He has another day where he's 9 of 18 and you'd like it to be better. I wouldn't be shocked if Cam Ward follows a very similar trajectory to Caleb Williams. And guess what? As long as he keeps making the occasional crossbody throw to Xavier Restrepo on fourth down, the highlight reel of his first career touchdown pass to Alec Iomanner, escaping the pocket, I think he's going to be maybe he's a better runner this year. Maybe he runs for 300 yards and two or three touchdowns. If all those things continue happening, guess what? You're going to be okay living with the occasional misfire, the occasional ball that hits the ground that shouldn't. Because as long as he's making up for it by creating dynamic, explosive plays, like he's proven he can, and also doing it off script, you're going to live with the roller coaster. And you're Brett Favre was a bit of a roller coaster quarterback, right? Like, there's a lot of these types in the NFL that we end up being okay with because you want the explosives, you crave them, you chase them. And guess what? It's only a problem when those completely go away and you're only completing 57% of your passes and you're not making up for it. Guess what? Cam Ward might just be that type of quarterback. Time will tell. And if he is, I know that I'll personally be okay with it, right? Josh Allen still makes a lot of mistakes. But again, he makes plays that only three quarterbacks in the NFL can make. Cam Ward did a lot of that last year, where he made plays that only five NFL quarterbacks can make. It might be okay.
In his second season, Josh Allen completed 58.8% of his passes for 3,089 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. The Bills went 10-6. The following year, he completed 69.2% of his passes for 4,544 yards, 37 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. Josh Allen had a pretty mediocre second year, maybe even bad stat-wise. I mean, again, 58.8% completion percentage, 193.1 passing yards per game. Less than 10 interceptions is good, 20 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. But it's not like he really exploded yet. You know, it took him 3 years. It might take Cam Ward 3 years. Cam Ward was a zero-star recruit. So was Josh Allen, I believe. Yeah, this is where we're at. I think the point is, don't overreact to what's happening in June. And I'd love to believe we'd say the same thing if Cam was going 17 of 17 in these drills and tossing 6 touchdown passes and looking like the next superstar. I'd love to say that would be the case, but it's just not. You know another one, Justin, that I forgot to mention? Patrick Mahomes, training camp, 2018, struggled mightily. I think he went on to throw 50 touchdown passes that season. So look,
outrageous, yeah.
What's going on right now? As much as we want to know what's going to happen in September and whether or not Cam Ward's going to be great and whether or not the Titans are going to be competitive, nothing that happens until September will tell us what's going to happen in September. That's just the way the NFL goes, the most unpredictable sport in the world. That's why we love it. Justin, any final thoughts on why Titans fans should press pause instead of pressing panic?
Listen, OTAs is all we've got right now. Next week, mandatory minicamp will be all we have. I understand paying attention to what's happening, reacting to it. I'm doing the same. You're doing the same. We're doing shows based on what's happening. I'm writing articles based on what's happening. There's nothing else to do, right? Like, I get that. As a football fan, we crave it. We want it. We need it, right? But the truth is, as we've presented today, there is no indication of how this is actually going to go in September. That's all we wanted to educate you guys on. I think we've successfully done that in about under 35 minutes. That's going to do it for today's informative episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to again keep you informed, to talk Tennessee Titans. They're on the practice field again on Thursday, so I don't know that we'll have immediate reactions from it, but we'll certainly have a look ahead, worst case scenario. Until you tune in tomorrow to MCA, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.